You'll turn your Bibles today to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to read verse 23 and verse 24. It says, "Therefore, if thou bring a gift to the altar, and there," where? "At the altar, rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee." Does it say just go ahead and pray? It says, "Leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First, be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift." Lord, we love you. We appreciate you today. And God, we ask that you speak to every heart. Lord, anoint your servant, God, to speak your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to continue in our series of servanthood. Amen. Folks, we want to be servants for the Lord. Servanthood, the servant as a forgiver. All right. See, serving is not only just helping out in other areas. It's a lot of things. It's servant as a forgiver. When you read this passage of scriptures, the Lord is telling us that, listen, I want you to pray to me. But if you come to the altar and find out and remember that you have aught or your brother has aught against you, I don't want to hear your prayer. Amen? He's saying, I want you to go and take care of the situation first and then come and pray to me. All right, everybody stand. We're going to do jumping jacks. Now, last week I tolerated it. This week, if you agree with me, amen me. All right? Or we will start having calisthenics before service. So when we deal with forgiveness, folks, there are two types that we need to consider, the vertical and the horizontal. Vertical and horizontal forgiveness. Some people have a hard time accepting God's forgiveness. Is that hard sometimes, accepting God's forgiveness? And only after prayer and searching through the scriptures and hearing messages and things of this nature, they settle into a reality of accepting God's forgiveness. Now, depending on the degree of realization, the forgiven takes part in a periodic battle to reinforce the truth. You see, the mind has always been a battlefield. Amen? The mind is always a battlefield, but it's a battlefield between truth and fiction. And Paul expresses this concept when you read in Romans chapter 7. We're going to read verse 15 through 25. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would do I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then this, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." Paul here is expressing the concept of laying out the conflict that he is having between accepting and performing the things of the spirit versus opposing actions of the flesh. In other words, he's saying, when I want to do good, I mess up. And I'm always battling with this flesh to try to do good. And that's how it is, folks. We have this war constantly. And that's why Paul said in another passage, I die daily. In other words, you got to let this flesh know you're not in control anymore. That new man that I became when I was baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, that is the one that is in control. So Paul ends the shared battle by stating in verse 25, God through Jesus Christ would deliver him from those struggles. You see, once accepted of forgiveness, Once that is settled, the road to abundant and full life awaits us. But many people never arrive at the finality of assured forgiveness. You know, the devil wants to just feed you these lies and tell you, God, there's no way God can forgive you. And sometimes different ones, they struggle with that. And it is a hard thing to believe that a God could love you. You know, and it all depends on what kind of life you were brought up in. Whether people loved you or whether they just wanted to told you no good. That's where that all comes from oftentimes. Or maybe it was a relationship you were in and you were fed a bunch of stuff that you were no good. You'd never amount to anything. And so when we come to get to know Jesus Christ and people that are serving God say he loves you and he'll forgive you of your sins, it's hard to accept that sometimes. So many Christians never come, they never arrived at that finality of that assured forgiveness. And what is the problem oftentimes? Why is it that one day the believer accepts God's forgiveness and then within days they struggle to hold on to that reality? It's hard sometimes, isn't it? You know, sometimes you get pumped up for something and you're going to do this and you're going to work out and you're going to do all this and you're telling yourself you're going to do it. Then within a couple of days and your body's aching and you roll out of bed, you're struggling with this. Should I get up today and do this? Nah, I'll roll back over. Come on. That's how it is sometimes in living for God, isn't it? One day we have a good Sunday service and man, you're pumped up and you get in there Monday and the world hits, the reality hits you hard and you're still trying to stay pumped up and by Wednesday, man, you need church again. Right? You need another dose of hearing God loves us. But it's a problem. We struggle with it. Maybe the real problem for the struggling saint is not with God's capacity to forgive. We can believe that God forgives, but with man's inability to forgive himself. I think that's where it is a lot of times, is in that battle up here, isn't it? Man's ability to forgive himself. People are their own worst enemy. Oh, I see a lot of amen in here this morning. Thank you. It's either you don't want to do those push-ups or jumping jacks, or you believe in what I'm saying here today. Huh? I'm going to choose you to believe in what I'm saying here. But we are our worst enemy, aren't we? They are also harsher on themselves than anybody else. When someone comes to God to surrender their life, they feel so ashamed of the things that they've done. And even if God says, I forgive you, he simply can't forgive themselves. See, they're hearing it in the message. They're hearing it in somebody's talking to them at the altar while they're praying through. God loves you, and God, He forgives all those things, and that's why we have to repent. You know, I like to tell them that when you repent, it's like the Greek army. They're marching, and all of a sudden, the sergeant calls out, repent! And they turn around and go the other way. You're telling God, I'm sorry for living that way. And so they hear all these things. But the problem is forgiving themselves. And if they can't forgive themselves, how can they accept that God forgives them? One of Satan's tricks is bringing up confessed sins. Remember when you did this? Oh, remember that other time when you did this? and he just beats you and beats you and beats you, pounds you down. He's like that other boxer. He's watched you and he knows your weakness and he's jabbing you right there. Every time. That's where he's hitting. That's where he's going for. And he sees that you're not blocking in that area, and he's gonna hit you again. Remember, 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 remember. That's his trick. See, he tries to manipulate a person's mind to believe that he may be, you're not forgiven by God. God can't forgive that. And how can he forgive himself for all those terrible things that he's done? So if he can't forgive himself, I just don't know if God can forgive me. How can he go to church and sit among God's people when I've lived such a sinful life? You can't be a part of that church. Look at those people. They're good people. But see, he's also telling all those other good people that he's telling you they're good, but he's over there telling them the same things. So don't believe him. He's telling you, how can you go to church? You're such a bad person. Look at all those people, how good they are. You can't sit in there and call yourself one of them. But he's also over here telling this person, you shouldn't be here. Pointing her out. Come on, we're all dealing with it here. We all deal with it at one time or another, don't we? But folks, we have to remember, the scripture tells us that he's a liar and the father of it. He's a liar. The more the forgiven Christian entertains these negative thoughts, the greater the hindrance to a victorious life. You see, folks, if we as Christians don't take a decisive action against these mind games that the devil plays, there is a danger of misdirected emotions, namely, against God. The forgiven Christian begins to question God's ability to really forgive. And for if God truly forgave them, then he would not have this inflicted unforgiveness of himself. See, that's what they're thinking. If God really forgave me, then why do I feel this way? That's where faith comes in, folks. That's why we can't live with God, for God, without faith. Amen? And we're afraid to step out and do different things and try to get involved in things. And you're living under that fear that I'm not good enough. The devil knows that we have to live by faith. And he's chiseling away at it every day by telling you, you cannot be forgiven for God, or you wouldn't feel this way. So, this misdirected emotion, it develops, and it's such as anger comes up, or such things like resentment, or a confusion against God. And it will not be long, folks, if we continue to allow these things to come in our lives, and we are dealing with these anger, we're dealing with this resentment, we're dealing with this confusion of God. If you don't take care of that, if we don't work at that, and we don't read the scripture and try to believe, it won't be long before there is justification for neglecting Bible reading, neglecting things like prayer, and neglecting the assembling ourselves with the believers, and in some cases, a return to pre-salvation days. Well, if I'm going to live into this and I can't be forgiven, then I might as well just go back to it. If I can't be forgiven, why even waste the time and go to church? And we get angry with God. Why can't you forgive me? And it's really not God, it's us. Because of our unforgiveness of ourselves, and we're saying, if I can't forgive, if I'm constantly feeling this way, then God surely can't forgive me. We return back to those things. That's where I might as well be. Have you ever talked to anybody, or have you ever, maybe you don't have to raise your hand, but you deal with these things ourselves sometimes, isn't it? See, when God forgives, there is nothing that we can do to improve or to solidify the fact. See, God's forgiveness to the point of choosing not to remember our forgiven sins. He said, I'm not even going to remember them. And He has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. The Bible says in Psalms 103 verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Thank God for the scripture. Hallelujah. I don't know about you today, but I choose to believe the word of God. Amen. And God says in His word that He removes them as far as the east is from the west. But yet, folks, in the view of this, some believe that they must do their part by judging and convicting themselves with the consequences of self-imposed punishment. Beat ourselves up. Beat ourselves senseless sometimes. You know, if somebody else treated us like we treat ourselves sometimes, we'd really be upset. Come on. We'd get in our face. Let me tell you something right now. Self-imposed punishment, folks. What happens is they attempt to combine faith and works in the forgiveness process. So instead of taking a compass and searching, instead they take this compass and they go out and they search for our forgiven sins. They look in the east and they look in the west. Where'd God put them? Because they can't forgive themselves. See, all with the purpose of punishing ourselves for our past. Amen, folks. We have to understand. We need the scripture every day. We need to talk to God every day and tell the enemy, you are a liar. Leave me alone. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to study this word and I'm going to apply it to my heart. Amen. So that I might not sin against thee. You see, it is up to us to either accept the total forgiveness of God, both vertically, God to us, and horizontally to ourselves. Let me say that again. It is up to us to either accept the total forgiveness of God, both vertically and horizontally. Vertically to God and horizontally to ourselves. It's up to us. Or to continue to battle with Satan's lies and his misconceptions. There has to come a point where we've got to say, I'm not dealing with that. I know God. I believe His word. I believe it is true. I believe it is for me. It is for all of us. When without that, we are in trouble. So, let's consider vertical forgiveness here today. Let's look at, in the scripture, Psalms 103, verse 1 through 5. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercy, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Let's read Psalms 103, verse 10 and 12. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor reward us according to our iniquities. Let me tell you something, folks. If God was really going to beat us up, He would deal with us according to what we really deserve. Amen? For as the heavens is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. God says, let's just get them out of the way right now. Come on. Amen. We thank you for that. Amen. So, it is after we accept and appropriate God's complete forgiveness on our behalf that we can learn, folks, to express forgiveness to another. Okay? You can't forgive somebody unless you accept what God has done for you. And if you accept what God has done for you, you should be able to give it to somebody else. Amen? That's horizontal. You see, it is this forgiveness that makes it possible for us to forgive others. If you can't forgive somebody else, you most likely haven't accepted God's forgiveness. Amen? So, the vertical is God to human. God to human always has an impact on the horizontal, human to human, for better or for worse. So when you have this right, this can be right. Amen? When you have this right, we can forgive one another. And that's because I'm human. And as much as sometimes, folks, I act like I can compartmentalize life. You ever try to compartmentalize life? Huh? Keeping my private worship separate from my work life, separate from my personal relationship, separate from my play, separate from my public worship. The reality is, it's hard. Most likely we can't do it. Right? And yet, in the redemption that God promised and began working through His people, folks, we see the grace of God who says He wants to be close to His people. God has always desired that, always desired to be close to each of us. But it's because of our choices that we've made in life, that we push God away because we know we're not making the right choices. Come on. We're all there, folks. I don't care if you're an amen or not here today. We're all there because of our choices. When we know we're making choices we shouldn't be making, and we're saying and we're doing things to our loved ones, we're doing things to our church members that sometimes we know we shouldn't be doing, and so therefore we're pushing God away because right now I'm not ready to forgive. Right now I'm not ready to work on this situation. So God, you just sit over here until I'm good and ready. Come on. So vertical's not right because I don't want to take care of horizontal. And yet the redemption of God's promised working. He wants to work with us. He wants to work through His people. And we see the grace of God who says He wants to be close to His people. Thank God for that grace today, folks. Thank God for that grace. And it is, folks, when He wants to be close to His people, and it is at work in spite of the people. In spite of how we push Him away, God's saying, I want to be close. Come on, let me help you with this. I want to be close with you. In spite of it. He wants to restore our relationships. Folks, it took a great God to be hanging there on the cross and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's why, why would He say something like that? Because He desired that relationship. He's never stopped. Hallelujah. That was His intention from day one, was to have the relationship. We're so good sometimes at pushing people out of our lives. We need to be like God and say, I don't want to push anybody away. See, I used to be one of these hotheads and get mad at my wife and wouldn't want to talk to her. I'll talk to you later. Just walk away. thank God for a loving wife that would just constantly push it. It's helped me today when we get upset. We have our times. Amen. That I will say, hey, I love you. I refuse to have that. And that's where God is, folks. No matter what you do, no matter where you've been, no matter what situation you're in, He's always saying, come on, let's deal with this right now. Let's deal with it. There's nothing worse ruining situations in your life, relationships in your life. But you know what I learned a long time ago? When I was young and stupid and I was drinking and I wanted to fight everybody. When I would drink, I'd get stupid. One day I'm like, what in the world am I doing? Friendships are hard to have. I need all I can get. And I'm done with this stuff. Folks, we need to fight to keep relationships together. Amen? Amen. I'm the oldest in my family, all my siblings. When my dad passed on, at our Thanksgiving, I told him, I says, let me tell you something. I'm stepping into this leadership, and we're going to work hard, like mom and dad did, to keep our family together. Amen? It ain't easy. Everybody's living their lives. It's not easy to overlook something that was said, maybe in a bad time. But if you want love and you want relationship, you got to look beyond those things. Come on. You got to look beyond those things. I've always said it here. You know, somebody may come in someday and you say hi to them or something and they snap at you. You can't just get all mad at them. You know that's out of character for them. Come on. Maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they just got done changing a tire. That'd make anybody mad. Huh? Not only you get out there and get your hands all dirty, but you got to buy a new tire. Folks, we got to look beyond these things. That's what God did. God understands. God sees your life. He knows what's going on. He's looking beyond that. That can happen to anybody. Come on. It's who you are. I want to be your friend. Amen? So in spite of all these things, God is working to restore our relationship. And that's what He wants us to do, both vertical and horizontal, to the way that we're supposed to be. Amen? You see, when someone wrongs another person, there are only two possible outcomes. We are responsible for the offense, or we are the recipient of the offense. Hear me? We are responsible for the offense, or we are the recipient of the offense. In either case, the first move is always theirs, right? It's always ours. If we want to be right with God, it's ours. He said, go to Him. Hey, hold on. You brought that gift? Stop. You got a problem? We'll take care of it. That's what the Word just said, right? We read that. You got a problem? Go take care of it. Then bring your gift. That's a scary place to be. God don't want my gifts until I take care of a situation. How many times do we keep trying to go back and give God that gift anyways, when we haven't taken care of the situation? Here, God, take this. I don't want it. Go take care of it. In either case, it's our move first. When we are the offender, stop. Leave there your gift. Go. Go thy way. Reconcile. First be reconciled to thy brother, and in return, then come and then offer your gift. And then offer your gift. So you have to stop, you have to go, you have to reconcile, then return. And the key word here, folks, is reconcile. Amen? Reconcile. The Greek word means to alter or to change. It is preceded by a prefix, which means to go through. So to go through and alter, to go through and change. So when you go to them, you have to make that situation different. You have to alter it. So if it's going this direction because of an offense, you have to alter it and make it go the other. I'm glad you came to me. I'm glad we got this worked out. Most of the time, come on, really, when you've went and asked for forgiveness from somebody, aren't you glad when it's over? And then sometimes you're like, why did I wait so long? Right? Why did I wait so long? We are commanded to go through a process that will result in changes. In changes. And once we have gone and confessed the wrong and our grief over the offense and have sought that forgiveness, then we are free to return to God and worship and prayer time. Then we can have that. So you say, well, Pastor, what if they just won't forgive me? Listen to me. We can only be responsible for ourselves in forgiveness. Right? We have to do our part. If they don't want to forgive, that's between them and God. But you have to go do your part. Say, look, I'm sorry about this. Now, you're never going to get forgiveness if you go there and say, I just want to come over here and apologize, even though it's your fault and you did this and you did that and you did this and you're such an idiot for doing this. You're not going to get forgiveness. Right? They're going to put up that defense like, read the hand. You need to go, you know what? I love you, man. I'm sorry. But you have to show it too. Amen? You have to show you mean it. Because you can go there with an attitude. Well, I just want you to know, I want to go pray to God, so I come here to tell you I'm sorry. No, you're not. Yes, I am. God told me to do it because he won't take my gift. So there. Oh, folks, that really doesn't work, does it? Huh? Could you imagine somebody coming to you and saying that like that? When they leave, you say, you're such a jerk. We can only be responsible for ourselves in forgiveness. But go with the right attitude. Go with the right motive and a right spirit, seeking to make things right. Amen. God will honor our effort. Right? He will honor our effort. It may take some time for God to bring about change. But let God do it. You do your part right and let God work on the rest. Amen? So God will work on their hearts. And just don't make it a one-time thing, folks. Just, you know, just be there. Just show them you really love them. You really care. Hug their necks. So allow God to take that time that it needs. And we need to have patience with them. Like we want God to have patience with us. I need the grace of God, don't you? Proverbs 18, verse 19 says, a brother offended, listen to this, is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. So, you know, it's not always easy. Sometimes it works out great and you never know anything happened once you walk away. But sometimes some people just take a little longer. We have to be patient with them. Just keep praying for them. God, touch their hearts. So what if the situation gets worse, Pastor? When we make things right, folks, we take away the blame for the offense. All right? We take away that blame. Once the blame is gone, some people feel guilt for their bad feelings. This guilt sometimes intensifies, and it makes the situation worse. And even though we are no longer at fault, it just gets worse. It happens. And as long as we keep an attitude, a right motive, and a right spirit, God will work to bring about the changes in the hearts of that offended. God will do it, folks. Well, what if I decide to deal with the offense with God only? In other words, I don't want to go talk to them, so I'll just talk to God and let God deal with it. Well, listen, here it is, Revelation, you can't. You can't do that. Jesus said, stop, go, reconcile, and return. He didn't say, here, just talk to me, I'll deal with it. Right? You didn't read that in Scripture. He said, stop what you're doing. Well, I'm praying. I'm giving you an offer. Stop. Go to that person. Take care of the situation. Reconcile with them. Then come back. You see, not to go is in direct disobedience to his command. All right? It is in direct disobedience to God's command. He did not say, simply pray and I'll forgive you. He didn't say that. He said, stop praying and go make things right. This is one of the hardest parts of the forgiveness test to pass, isn't it? To hearing God and say, go take care of it. Do what's right. What if it's impossible to reconcile because the person's dead, Pastor? Well, you go to the graveyard, dig them up. No, I'm just kidding. Just go over there and yell down through the ground. No. These are unique cases, folks. And listen, let me help you understand something here today. It's when you take care of situations, it's not mainly for that person. It's for you. You are dealing with something. See, a lot of times, folks, we can have problems with somebody, and it's going through in our head over and over and over, and they're out having a good time. They're not even thinking about you. But every day, they're living rent-free in your mind. So you have situations with people that have passed on. Maybe it was a parent or something that had done things, and you've been angry with them for years, but they're gone. So in these unique cases, you share your burden of guilt with someone that you can trust. A leadership in your life and things like that. Share it with them. And in such cases, the only thing in such cases is prayer and an understanding of affirming individual will provide the relief so desperately needed. So you pray about it and you talk with somebody about it. You need to talk it out. Somebody that you can trust. And then, through the prayer and the word of God and things in your life, I believe that can be blessed and healed. But you have to take care of these things. You can't carry on with these things. I knew somebody that had something with somebody, and they just constantly, when I would talk with them, it always would come up. And I'd say, you need to forgive them. Well, I have. Well, if you saw them on a sidewalk walking down the street there, could you hug their neck? Well, then you haven't forgiven. You have not forgiven. I've told many folks, listen, forgiveness doesn't keep bringing things up. You can't keep bringing it up over and over and over and say you've forgiven them. Because it's not, if you keep bringing it up. The Lord gets rid of it. He says, I'm going to cast these things as far to the east as to the west. He don't want to even think about it anymore. But yet we say we've forgiven somebody, but we constantly think about it. It's constant. You haven't forgiven. So in many of these cases, prayer with an understanding, affirming individual with somebody that understands and can help you provide the relief that is desperately needed in your life. So when we have been the cause of an offense, that is, when we are the offender in a situation, we must have the heart of a servant. Stop, go, reconcile, then return. So let's talk about living as horizontal Jesus. Okay, we have this vertical relationship, but we are to live like Jesus. Folks, you are created in the image of God. And folks, He intends for you to reveal His goodness as He confirms you into the likeness of Himself. God, every day, since you told God at that altar, "I'm sorry," and you were baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost, He is trying to get you to be that example. We are the body of Christ. Amen? So what do people see in you? Are you that living horizontal Jesus? Matthew 5, verse 16, "Let your light shine before men." Why does He want our light to shine? "So that they may see your good works and give glory to you." Right? So we live good so people give us glory. No. "And glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, people ought to see how we live and thank God and glorify God. Man, that person is a Christian. Man, they live for God. Look at how they live. That is giving glory to God. See, the way you treat others should always point them to your Heavenly Father. So listen, when you're arguing with your neighbor, I wanted to argue with one of our neighbors here today. See, when I walked around out here and cleaned up all this paper, we had 5 garbage bags full yesterday. And then our lovely neighbor decides to give us some of his shrubbery that he cut off his fence. I wanted to argue. I wanted to go over and say, "Where'd all that shrubbery off of your fence go?" But I think I'll just move it. James said he'll take care of it for me. Thank you, James, for helping me give glory to God. Not losing my Holy Ghost. We can lose it sometimes, can't we? When we run that mouth at our neighbors. And they, folks, I'm telling you, you get mad at your neighbors and you feel justified, but God's like, "You just ruined a witness. You just offended them. They're so mad at you." Right? We have to live that life. See, they benefit, the people do, as you reflect the image of Christ to them. And you benefit, how? By experiencing God more fully. That's what we want to do, folks. We want people to benefit from us living for God. And then we benefit as we experience God more in our life. What it does, it enriches and it deepens your vertical relationship with God when you are doing good this way, horizontally. When you love people, when you forgive people, when you serve people, when you encourage people, when you admonish and comfort others, you benefit by having a closer relationship with God. They benefit from you doing God's business. It's a win-win scenario, folks. You grow spiritually as you help others grow. When God knows that He can flow through you horizontally, He will flow even more through you vertically. But the moment that God sees His blessing stopping with you instead of being shared with others, hear me, the moment God sees His blessing stopping at your door and you're not sharing it with others, God continuing to pour His blessings into your life isn't in anyone's best interest. So he says, I'm not going to just keep pouring here if you're going to keep hoarding it. So it's not benefiting anybody, so he stops. I don't want the blessings of God to stop in my life. Come on. I want them to keep coming right on down. See, if you don't allow those blessings to flow out of you, it isn't healthy or helpful. And it may even be hurtful. So you are blessed to be a blessing. Hear me today, folks. We are blessed from God, not just to hoard it, but to be a blessing. You can also be blessed because you are a blessing. See, Jesus said that he came to give us an abundant life. In John 10:10, the thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. The only way you can have that abundant is by blessing others. See, this life is as simple as loving God and loving your neighbors as yourself. Luke 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Notice, I said it's simple. I didn't say it was easy. It's simple. Only when you give yourself away do you make room for the overflowing abundance God has in store for you. Folks, don't hoard God's blessings. Come on, I think each one of us here today can look at ourselves and say, I am blessed because I know Jesus Christ. Come on. Then don't hoard that. Give that out. Let that flow. Amen? Try to do it on a daily basis. Well, I did it last week. Well, what's wrong with the rest of the time? Jesus went about his work every day, blessing others. The Bible says, you know, you can read a lot of things that God did for people. But they said there's so much more, you couldn't tell them all. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I remember doing this one time and I had a big basket up here and a thimble. How are you going to meet out? You're going to give this little thimble full? Because the Bible says how you give is how God's going to give to you. You want the thimble blessing from God or you want the bushel basket blessing from God? What do you want? How you meet with all, the Bible says here. For the same measure that ye meet, that you give. Here's a thimble. Oh, you're so generous. Look at that. A whole thimble full. Oh, how about the bushel? Because that's the kind of blessings I want from God. I want the bushel baskets from God. Or a 55-gallon drum, whatever it is. Folks, if you want to experience more of God vertically, then you must be actively involved with others horizontally. Folks, look at the world we live in today. How few people do anything. You know, years ago, folks, it was you drive down the streets and people were on their front porch and you wave. Now everybody's in the backyard and say, leave me alone. They got their decks back there and everything's back there and they got the fence all around it. It says, leave me alone. We need to get back on the front porch. As apostolics, we need to be in the forefront of giving horizontally. Amen? They need to see there's a place that'll love you. There's a place that'll help you. There's a place that'll help meet your needs. You must be the visible expression of Christ's love to other church members, to other family members in the church, to others in your neighbors and your co-workers. You have to be that expression of Jesus Christ. The two are tied together hand in hand. The church is the body of Christ in this world. What do we want them to think of him? When you are horizontal Jesus to others around you, everyone is positioned to experience more of the power and the presence of God. Amen? When you are horizontal Jesus, everybody experiences that position of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's stand here today. Amen. Let's let people see Jesus Christ in our life. Amen? Lord, we love you, and God, we appreciate you, and I thank you for your word here today. God, let your will be done in every heart, and help us, God, to be Jesus Christ to this world. Help us, Lord, to be written epistles, read of all men. We give you the praise and glory of Jesus' name. Amen.